You're listening to Lower Road Radio, voted by Podcast Monthly as one of the top 50 sports radio podcasts to premiere in January of 2016. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what sportspodcast.biz.gov calls subpar at best.
At Tanagra, when the walls fell, this is Dan Owings coming at you another time for Lower Road Radio with my co-host, as always, on this fine morning, Jason Owings. Jason, how are you doing?
Good. I was just going to say this might be the worst episode ever.
Maybe the best.
Well, it could be the best.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of thinking it might be the worst.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, we were both up at 6 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
You know, and it's now our time, 8 o'clock, something like that?
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock.
We've been up for 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
So it's not really early in the morning.
Yeah.
But it's too early. I mean, we usually do the show like 8 o'clock at night.
That's early. I mean...
9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
I mean,
we've
been doing stuff all day, so I'm still trying to wake up. I got my coffee.
Yeah.
Normally, I'm drinking Coke.
Right.
Today, I'm drinking coffee. And now I've got my Coke as a backup.
Yeah, I know. I see you have both.
I got my coffee. If I burn through the coffee really quick,
right.
Then I got a Coke for a backup.
Right.
If I can get to the Coke, I feel like it will be...
what are you doing? You getting notifications?
I am getting notifications.
Okay.
I hope that didn't come through. But
it probably
did. Whatever. So, if I can get to the Coke, a nice cold pop, I just feel like... I'm gonna enjoy this whole podcast that much more.
Okay, so that's the goal. Burn through the
coffee.
What is this, Meijer coffee? That's where you got it this morning?
Yeah, it's gas station coffee. I kind of spilled it a little bit there.
You're loyal to the Meijer gas station.
I love Meijer's. Well, yeah. I worked there when I was 18, 19 years old.
Right.
I worked third shift at a gas station.
Yes.
Meijer gas station.
By yourself.
By myself.
But third shift at that gas station, the doors weren't open. You had to pay from the outside.
Well, from midnight, you locked the doors at midnight. And then we would open them like at 5 in the morning.
Right.
So like the middle of the night, it's closed.
Right.
Which was nice.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of crazy people, you know.
Crazies.
2, 3 in the morning.
Yeah, right.
But that's when I started drinking coffee. 18, 19 years old, working third shift.
Right.
And so I bought a big 64-ounce mug.
Mm-hmm.
And I would drink 64 ounces of like the coffee cappuccino every night.
Oh my gosh, I could not do that.
By the morning, I was really twitchy.
Yeah, you
my
think?
Eyes. Yeah, my eyes were twitchy. My face would like randomly convulse.
That's bad. That's not good.
Well,
I'm a one cup of coffee guy. Like once I have one cup of coffee, just regular coffee, I'm like, yep, I'm done. I can't have any more.
No, I love coffee.
Yeah,
and I would drink it more. But I love Coke that much more. Coke being the unofficial sponsor of the show.
Yes.
But no, I'll get through this coffee and then I'll get to the Coke.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully all the caffeine works. I know it's not, you know, a gallon of cappuccino, but it'll be better than nothing.
No. And I'm hurting today too. Last night I took my daughter to the church had a thing with the kids, the youth group stuff, and they had this game going. It's called like 9 square.
Right.
And there's like PVC pipe and there's 9 squares and it's 8, 9 foot off the ground. And they got this ball and they're hitting it through the squares.
Right.
So, you know, me being, you know, the cool guy that I am, I decide that
sure.
I want to hop in and play a little bit.
You're going to be that guy.
I'm going to be that guy, yeah.
Oh, boy.
And so I hopped in there and played. I dominated.
Of course.
I mean, a bunch of junior high kids, I totally dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened. Last night when I came home, all of a sudden my knee started hurting worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
By the time it got time for bed, I seriously could not get up the stairs.
Mm.
Like I limped up the stairs. My knee's starting to swell up.
Mm.
My kneecap feels like it's going to fall off.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Wow.
I hurt.
Yeah. Well, this has already started off to be our worst episode ever. So just you complaining about, I don't know, you know, your knee, the coffee, you know, all this kind of... You're grouchy in the
morning. I'm a grouchy morning guy.
You are.
I tend to be grouchy probably until noon. And then things starting to brighten up a little bit. And then I get tired again. So if I can get my afternoon nap like at 3 or 4 o'clock, if I can squeeze in a half an hour nap,
mm-hmm.
I'm really good at that point on.
Okay.
Until about 7 o'clock at night. And then I'm hungry.
Right.
And then I complain about that. But then after I eat, I'm fine. until about like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And then, right. you know, I'm getting hungry again.
Right. That's that. Hence the like midnight grilling. That
exactly.
happens.
Yeah. yeah. The, oh, side note, sorry. I'm completely scatterbrained today, but, so last night when I dropped my daughter off at this thing, we stopped and got donuts for dinner.
Okay.
Because.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah.
So we stopped at Meijer, got donuts at Meijer.
Uh-huh.
They have a pretty good bakery.
Sure.
You know, I don't want to be 300 pounds, but I'm eating donuts for dinner.
And probably drinking a Coke.
And drinking a Coke, yes. Uh-huh. I washed the sugary donuts down with a Coke. But guess who I saw in the donut section at Meijer?
I don't know. Who did you see?
Well, I kind of feel bad about this, but the kid that we were making fun of because mm-hmm. he wears his shirt at the pool.
Uh-huh.
His initials are C and J. I mean, I feel really bad about this. I really do.
So that's the thing about coming back home, you know, and having yeah. an international podcast. You know, you make fun of people, but, you know, you're going to run into them.
Well, I didn't even know he still lived here.
It's a small town.
I mean, there's 50,000 people. Yeah. It's not really, really small. I saw this guy in the donut section, like 6 donuts. I mean, I don't know if he's eating them all himself. I got a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm also yeah. equally as fat. Mm-hmm. But
So you're thinking he's still rocking the t-shirt at the pool.
I know he is. I mean, I haven't seen him at the pool, obviously, in, you know, 35 years or something like that.
It would be hilarious if he was shirtless at the donut counter. You know what I mean? Like if he puts the shirt on only to go in the pool.
Yeah. Mm. No, I don't think he ever. He probably showers with a shirt on. He probably never takes that shirt off.
Well, I'm really glad that we got that in. That is important.
Well, here's the thing. It's awkward, and I don't want to have to talk about people if I'm going to see them. So if we talk about people, it's better to talk about people out of state.
Yes.
You know, Adam the male nurse, Shoeless uh-huh. Joe Jackson,
yeah.
or Shoeless Joe from Arkansas. You know, I mean, we've got a lot of, you know, listeners of the show
mm-hmm.
who, you know, they're good to make fun of because I don't see them.
Right.
And John Meadows, I love making fun of John Meadows, but mm-hmm. I've never met the guy. So, no. I mean, I don't even know what else to say.
Right.
Although, you sent me a picture, or he sent you a picture last week.
Right.
After he listened to the show.
Yeah.
And I was completely laughing at him because he was last in the division at ESPN Streak for cash.
Right.
And he had lost like 4 in a row. And at the time, I'd won 4 in a row. So I laughed at him on air, and he sent you a picture of him gripping the steering wheel
yes,
super tight.
Which is what he does. So I have a picture. I should put it on the Facebook page. I have a picture of John gripping his steering wheel,
that's
which
great.
Is every time you talk, he grips the steering wheel a little bit harder.
That should be the title of this, or the picture of the show for this week.
John gripping
the steering wheel.
Yeah, we should. You know, speaking of the Streak for Cash thing really quickly, you know, all of our listeners and all of our people – right now, Husky Luke, I just want to give some props to Husky Luke.
Yes.
Husky Luke has a 6-game winning streak right now.
Yes, okay? Although Shoeless Joe has hit 8 games.
Yeah.
He hit 8 games a couple days ago.
Johnny Meadows tied for second place with a 2-game winning streak. So you've got a 1. And then we have a new Calkins. We still don't know who Calkins is.
No, email the show.
But we have a new person, Court Jester.
Yes.
Do you know Court Jester? Do
I
you know
no
who that could be?
No idea who
I have
Court
no
Jester
idea.
Is.
Court Jester, right? Jesse A. Rosenthal.
Rosenthal.
Jesse A. Rosenthal. So Jesse had a 3-game winning streak. He picked the Cardinals, the Patriots, and the Penguins to win, and then he picked the Cubs, I suppose, to win on the 18th, and then they lost. So Jesse A. Rosenthal, Court Jester, right into the show. Let us know who you are. We're curious.
Where are you from?
Where are you from?
Oh, I looked up the stats on the show the other day. We haven't done that in a long time.
No, I stopped looking them up, you know.
Yeah, well, 44% of our listeners are from California.
Wow.
Like, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty good percentage.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's pretty good overall.
Yeah.
I wish we had more Midwesterns listen to the show. But
yeah, you would think so. Us having
no, been, I mean, we have a strong presence in California.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Well, I guess we've always known.
And we have some international listeners.
Yeah, we do.
Like active.
From weird countries.
Weird countries.
Like,
yeah.
I've never even heard of these countries.
Yeah. Remember that show, Perfect Strangers?
Yes.
Balky. Where was he from?
It was a made-up country.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
I can tell you where it's from if you just give me
You're going to Google it really
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, I'm going to Google it real quick.
That my was Cousin Larry.
Cousin Larry. Cousin Larry.
That's a great show. I haven't thought about that show in years, but that's pretty funny. No, the name, whatever the name of that country was, that was great.
Here we go.
Fill the dead air with the typing of the keyboard.
He was Balki Bartokomos is a fictional character played by Bronson Pinchot and Perfect Strangers. He is from the fictional Greek-like island of Mypos. So that's where he's from. It's a fictional island. He's from Mypos.
Okay, that's not what I remembered. But
no,
whatever.
Me neither. Maybe he pronounced it so different that
maybe I'm thinking Andy Kaufman. Where was Andy Kaufman from on not Cheers, Taxi?
Okay. Well, let me look that up too. Here
oh
we
my
go.
Gosh. Okay. Riveting podcast. Riveting sports podcast. Talking about Perfect Strangers and the show Taxi.
Right. Oh my gosh. This is going to take a little bit longer to figure out.
You can't say what country was.
Well, I did, but it didn't just give me an answer. The character's name was Latka Gravas.
Yes.
That was his name. And I'm scanning through Wikipedia. This is a long pause. Latka's home country is never disclosed, only referred to as Latka's country or the old country. And his native language is essentially gibberish, although a few words and phrases were consistently used, notably ibida for yes or that is so. Okay, so there you go. No answer to the question.
I mean, you know, we're making references to 1986. I'm okay with that.
Okay, yeah, no, that's.
I mean, that's our target audience.
We what our show is about.
35 and 40-year-olds who watched Taxi back in 1986.
Do you ever go back and watch, you know, now in the days of like Netflix and Hulu, do you ever go back and like watch like an old sitcom?
Yeah, some of them are awful. I mean, just stupid.
Yeah.
I told you the Full House thing.
I don't know.
I don't know if I even said it on air, but we stopped at a hotel on our way moving here.
Oh, yeah.
Did I say this on air?
I don't know.
Okay, so I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
If you've heard it before, you're going to have to just be patient. But Full House comes on the TV, and I mentioned something like, oh, Full House. I'm like, I love the show.
Yeah.
And my son, Gideon, goes, wait a second. How do you know about Full House? Like, just dead serious. Like, it's this, like, secret underground thing that only, like, current 8-year-olds would even know. Wait a second. How do you know about Full House?
I can totally see him saying that.
So
too.
I kept on saying that to him, like, over and over and over, and he got so mad, like, stop it. Stop. Wait a second. How do you know about Full House? No, some of those old shows, you go back and watch it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I can't believe I thought this was good. And even shows that people thought were good at the time. Mm-hmm. They're awful. Like MacGyver.
Not good.
Not good. Not mm-hmm. good at all. No. Knight Rider.
No.
No. Not good.
No.
The A-Team. No. Not good. None of these shows make sense. They're all
they don't
all
have
over,
to.
I know, yeah. But they're an hour long each. Mm-hmm. And they're just like they're nothing.
It was a different time in entertainment. Back then there were basically three channels in the 80s, and then Fox was starting to come along.
Yeah.
So you didn't have many options, so it didn't have to be very good.
It's true.
It just had to be, you know, fine, and people loved it.
Well, I remember being a little kid.
You still watch Murder, She Wrote.
I still watch Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
But I remember Dad, like, you know, 8 o'clock at night when the good shows would come on.
Yeah.
Dad, you know, TV would turn on. Mom was watching the shows with us. You and I were sitting there. Dad would go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not watching this. And he goes to bed. And I just remember thinking, "What? Why? This is a good show.
Right.
This why wouldn't you watch this?
It's a talking car.
It's a smart car.
Yeah.
I mean, it talks. It's like a computer and mm-hmm. a car.
Yeah. Kit,
yeah. But now you go, I would do the same thing with my kids. Mm-hmm. My kids have something stupid on. I'm like, I'm going to bed. Like, I'm not watching this.
I will say, I recently, I don't know, within the last year, went back and rewatched on Hulu the first season of Newhart.
Oh, I love that show.
It was so good. They only have the first season. I was so upset. My wife and I watched every episode. First season was over. We went to go season two, and it wasn't there. I was so upset.
Yeah.
Because it was just starting to get really good. So Newhart holds up, definitely.
With
This is Daryl. My name's Daryl. Wait a minute. My name's Larry.
Yeah.
And this is my brother Daryl, and this is my other brother Daryl. Yeah. And they didn't show up till like the last two or three episodes, I think, of the first season. And there was like a different character that I didn't know. So that you could tell that first season they were trying to figure it out. So Newhart definitely holds up very
good. This is my brother Daryl. This is my other brother Daryl.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I love Newhart.
Yeah. Well, Bob Newhart is great.
Have you ever gone back and listened to his really old stand-up from like the 60s and the 70s? Oh my gosh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Like he does this bit that he was famous for where he's talking to somebody on the phone and you can only hear his portion of the conversation.
Right.
So funny.
Yeah.
Holds up. Like absolutely holds up. That holds up. Because sometimes there have been like where I have like a rental car or something and I'll have Sirius satellite radio. And there's a couple of comedy stations, and there's a clean comedy station.
Okay.
And sometimes the clean comedy station is like just awful. It's just
not.
It's clean, but it's just clean, not
it's
funny.
Just stupid. Yeah.
But it's the good stuff is when they go to the old stuff, the old Bill Cosby, the old Newhart, and there's a really old Andy Griffith bit, like pre Andy Griffith show. He was a really young guy, and he used to tell. Because he's this hick from North Carolina.
Yeah.
He used to retell Shakespearean plays. Like, as a North Carolina hillbilly, so funny. So funny. Like, so, you know, so Romeo's paw wasn't too, you know what I mean? Like, he would say, it's so good. It's really good. So, I don't know if you can find any of that, but that's a heavy suggestion for me.
Yeah. No, I like it. Now, I mean, I love the old, like, the old Bill Cosby. I think it's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. Bill Cosby himself is probably the greatest stand-up of all
Dad
time.
Dad is great. Feeds us chocolate cake.
No, it's pretty great.
Well, every time, like, I'll do that with my own kids.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, singing it to myself as I give it to the kids.
And it makes perfect sense. He's going to make breakfast for his kids. Eggs,
There's
flour.
Eggs in chocolate cake.
Yeah, right.
Eggs are healthy.
Yeah, it's all the stuff that's in breakfast. So, No, that's so good.
Dad
it's
so, is great.
They're singing my praises. He's dancing. He's doing the thing. It's so great.
And then mom comes in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and it's like, yep, I've been there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So good. So so now it feels like a natural time to slip in our other sponsor. We've already talked about Coke. Netflix is our other sponsor.
Yes.
So the Netflix suggestion of the week for me is, now you've already stated that the greatest thing maybe ever on television or the greatest thing that you could ever watch is The King of Kong.
It's one of the greatest documentaries ever. That and Barkley Marathons.
Right.
Both, I think, I mean, they hold up to any documentary out there.
So the King of Kong,
Full Quarters.
The star of King of Kong is Billy Mitchell.
Yes.
I mean, there's this other guy, but it's Billy Mitchell is the star. So if you've watched King of Kong, you know what we're talking about. So my Netflix suggestion of the week is, it's called Man vs. Snake. It's about a guy. Do you remember an arcade game named Nibbler called Nibbler?
No, but when you explained the game to me, we talked about this like two or three days ago.
Yeah.
I remember playing that game. I just didn't know what
it
was
wasn't a really popular game. So it's like a snake.
Yeah.
You're controlling the snake.
Which is basically lines, like blocks on a screen.
Kind of.
It's not a real snake.
No, it's not a real... If you're out there and you think I'm talking about a real snake, no, it's not a real snake.
No, you're talking about 1980 arcade
game. Yeah, it's an arcade, like Pac-Man, all this kind of stuff. And so the snake is going through kind of a maze, and every stage looks a little bit different.
Right.
And he has to pick up these dots, right? But every time he picks up a dot, he gets a little bit longer.
Right.
So you have to navigate the maze in such a way that you don't run into the back of yourself.
Right.
You know, and if you do, you die. And then every stage gets a little different, and every stage gets faster. And then by the end, it's like super, super fast. Well, apparently, this is a game that you can marathon, right? That you can put in one quarter, and you can play for like 48 hours straight if you were good enough.
Right.
Right. So in 1980-something, this guy breaks this record. He gets the first billion-point score. It took him like 40 hours on this game, nonstop play, to get the billion points on
Nibbler. Did he wear a diaper? How do you go 40 hours without going potty?
So with this game, you build up lives, and you get to like 120 lives or 100 lives, and then you can take like a 15-minute break, and the game just goes round and round, and then it kills itself. And so like in 15 minutes, you'll lose like maybe 15, 20 lives. But if you have 120 lives built up, you can spare them.
I gotcha.
So you'll take a 15-minute break every once in a while, but you got to be careful. So anyway, the guy breaks the record in the 1980s and for Nibbler, and he gets the first billion-point score. In his little town in Iowa, they have like a day that's honoring him. His name is Tim McVeigh, which is crazy too.
Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah, he's not that Timothy McVeigh. Yeah. But so they have like Tim McVeigh Day at this little town in the 80s, you know. And anyway, and then it's just basically that's like the first, I don't know, 15 minutes of the documentary. Right. And then it picks up from there, this like kind of new quest to get the record on Nibbler. That's like
it's, so a new guy wants to beat it?
Yeah, kind of. And then there's some controversy about maybe who does have the record. Maybe there's some guy in Italy thinks he has the record, stuff like that. So yeah. I don't want to give too much away.
I love stuff like that.
But yeah. I will say, if you like Billy Mitchell, you're going to get more Billy Mitchell.
Well, here's the thing. I hate Billy Mitchell.
Yeah.
But that's why you like him.
Yes.
Because you like to hate
Billy Mitchell. I will say, if this was my only Billy Mitchell experience, if I had never seen the other thing, I would go away from this documentary thinking, you know that Billy Mitchell, he's a solid dude. Like, he's a really solid guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, because he really – I think he realized how he came off in the last documentary after watching it. And, I mean, he still reeks of arrogance. There's no, he's still got the American tie and the mullet. You know what I mean? Like
he sells his own chicken wing sauce.
Yeah, right. They don't talk about that as much. But so he still reeks of arrogance. But he's like nice to this guy, and so it's really
here's the thing,
really
if
good.
If you've never seen King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters, you have to watch it.
You have to,
And
when just so you know, listening, if you haven't seen it, once you turn it on, make sure you don't have any plans to be anywhere.
Yeah,
because
it's 2 hours of excellent.
It's
your
gripping.
Goal.
You have to watch it and find out what happens.
Yes,
yeah, it is. It like.
Here's the thing. I haven't, like, purchased a lot of documentaries because they're on Netflix and, you know, YouTube and all stuff.
Yeah.
I purchased that documentary. I own it because it is one of the best documentaries ever.
It's so good.
The way it's done, the characters are in it. It's perfect. Well, it's the perfect documentary.
And this one's not as good. I'm not going to say it's as good, but it's pretty good. And it just gives you more Billy. We all need more Billy Mitchell in our life. That's what I say.
Well... Yeah, I don't want him in my real life.
I don't need him as a friend. No. But he should have like a an ESPN show where he talks about video games, like a PTI kind of a Colin Cowherd. Like I just want 30 minutes of Billy Mitchell every day. You know?
No. Like maybe 45 seconds. Like, you know, just a little
give
tiny
a Sports Center minute.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's got a 60-second deal on Sports Center.
I would like that. I'd be okay with that.
Well, I mean, here's the thing is he – I tend to be an arrogant person. I get this.
Okay.
I understand. Sometimes I come across that way.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Billy Mitchell, like, blows me away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even close. So on the arrogant scale, if it's like 1 to 10, I'm like maybe, what, a 7? I mean, just
– okay, sure, yeah.
You know, we'll go with that. I'm more arrogant than the average guy.
And I don't think you are complete – I think sometimes it's funny to you that you come across that way.
I like playing the arrogant card.
Yeah, you do. Like, and you do come across that way. I got this. The male nurse texted me the
Adam
other day.
Adam the male nurse. Yeah.
Adam the male nurse, and he said in 1995-96, Yinka Dare of the Nets played 58 games without recording an assist. He played 58 games.
Yeah.
I mean, you think you'd get an assist on accident? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you just accidentally drop the ball and somebody picks it up and scores it, you know?
Right.
And he said, I just imagine Jason's game would be similar to his. Just a black hole.
Now, I like playing the arrogant card.
Uh-huh.
I think, like, in real life, I'm probably not nearly as arrogant as what I like to pretend that I am, but I'm probably like a 7.
Yeah.
Billy Mitchell, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 7.
Uh-huh.
Billy Mitchell's a 12. I mean, he's off the chart.
Yeah, he's off.
He's not even...
No, he's not on your chart. Yeah,
no.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
he's what's funny is he's arrogant about 1980s arcade games.
Yeah,
That's the thing.
But here's the thing. He's like earned... He is like legitimately the greatest...
Arcade player ever.
Arcade player of all time. Because of not just like the Donkey Kong, but he also scored a perfect score on Pac-Man.
Yeah.
I cannot... I think everybody's probably played Pac-Man before, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember the old Pac-Man game that was like a tabletop?
Yeah.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like every Pizza Hut.
Yeah, every Pizza Hut had one. Yeah, and you'd sit down and you'd look down on... To score a perfect score on Pac-Man means you never die.
Yeah.
You get every dot.
Yeah.
Every fruit.
Yes.
And every ghost.
Yes. I don't know. It's impossible. I don't know how you do it.
It's apparently it's like an algorithm. It's like the, you know, the computer. There are patterns that just happen.
I get that, but like the fruit thing in the middle, how do you ever get to it in time?
I don't know.
Because like as soon as the cherries pop up, I'm like, I gotta get the cherries.
I think he knows when it's gonna pop up.
I know, but that's crazy.
I know. It is nuts. To score a perfect score on Pac-Man is unfathomable. So he's arrogant, but he's kind of earned it, you know?
No, I get that.
So
I think it would be awesome to see like if there was, I don't, like if Billy Mitchell could run for president. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if he could be, like, in some type of debate forum, that would be the perfect Billy Mitchell.
I don't even know where his politics would fall. It could fall anywhere, all the way on the left or all the way on the right, and I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I mean, they don't mention politics at all in it.
No.
But, like, he's
that. Such an eccentric personality.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Nobody would vote for him in real life.
Is there?
He could have picked up one vote.
Let's set a goal today as a podcast to one day interview Billy Mitchell.
Okay. I don't think it'd be that hard. I mean, what's he got going for
him? I think he would probably do it, but I desperately want to interview Billy Mitchell for the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that would be gold. Oh, my gosh.
He lives in Florida?
I don't know where he lives. Florida sounds right. I'm not sure.
We need to figure that out.
He probably lives close to, like, Orlando, like close to Disney. He probably still goes there a lot, you know? Like, he knows, like, the first name of, like, you know, the guys in the costumes. He's like, oh, Phil's playing Mickey today, you know?
Well, like, he knows Phil's left-handed, and he waves with his left hand.
So, he's, like, figuring it all out. Yeah.
And he's proud of it.
Yeah, and he's, like, letting everybody know.
Yeah. It's Phil over there. Phil's working Mickey today.
Oh, my gosh. All right, well, we got to move past this. This is a sports show, nominally, anyway, because it's Lower Road Radio.
Yeah.
So we don't say, it's not in our name that we're a sports radio.
I think in the description it says your favorite sports podcast.
Yeah. So we better get to sports, okay, because we're on top of it. And I don't want to get to sports. I'd rather talk about Billy Mitchell all day because this is making me angry. Our NCAA football picks right now, I still think that there's some lost picks out there where I did better, and somehow I think you got rid of the information. I think you found that paper and crumpled it up. But from what the solid evidence that we know,
yes,
when we pick NCAA football, we always pick ranked teams against ranked teams. You are 13-2,
which is pretty good.
Stupid.
I mean, 13-2,
and I'm 7-8, so I'm below
sub 500.
I'm below the Mendoza line.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm not, but I'm sub 500.
Yeah.
So
13-2, like I could lose the rest of the year and still beat you.
Probably. Well, I mean, if I went undefeated and you lost the rest, it depends on how many more ranked teams are playing ranked teams, I guess. So anyway, last week we both picked Alabama to beat Tennessee. We were right about that, of course. I picked Ole Miss to beat Arkansas. And by the way, it seems like Ole Miss and Arkansas are in these picks every week.
It feels like they play each other every week.
So let's give it up to Ole Miss and Akronsass for having a tough schedule because it seems like they're always playing ranked opponents. Maybe that's partly a function of the SEC being overrated, you know, and they're all ranked. I don't know. But anyway, so I picked Ole Miss. You picked Arkansas. You got that. And then Ohio State, Wisconsin was the big one for us because, of course, we're both Buckeye fans. I was convinced that Wisconsin was going to win. And in fact, I became more convinced as I watched the game in the first half because Ohio State did not look good. But eventually, somehow, they pulled it out at the end and they won in overtime. So you picked Ohio State. I picked Wisconsin. So now you're sitting at 13-2. I'm 7-8. So there are three games this week.
Okay? Yes.
Texas A&M and Alabama. Two undefeated teams.
Yes.
It's at Alabama. Texas A&M is sixth. Alabama is first in the country.
Alabama is favored by 19.
Dang it.
That is a lot.
Man, that's a lot. Against an undefeated team this late in the season.
Yeah. I mean, I have to go with Alabama. Yeah. It's not just because they're favored by 19.
Well, they're the better team.
They're the better team. Yeah.
No, and it's at Alabama. Maybe if it was like a night game in Mississippi, then you start to think about
it. Why would it be in Mississippi?
Oh, I'm sorry, at Texas. I'm so used to picking Mississippi.
If it was a night game in Mississippi, I'm not so sure.
It's like a night game in South Dakota. Who knows? Okay. Next, and I say we pick Akronsass every week. It's Akronsass is 17th against Auburn is 21st.
Yes.
I have no feel for this pick. It's at Auburn. What do you think?
Auburn's favored by 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Akronsass.
I'm going to go with Auburn. So that'll separate us. because I'm going to take the home team, the team that's favored. And then the last game, Ole Miss, who we pick every week, is 23rd, and LSU is 25th. So this barely meets the bill.
Well, here's the thing. Ole Miss is 3-3.
Yeah.
They've 3 wins, 3 losses. They have a 500 record,
I
and they're ranked.
I think the 3 losses are Arkansas, Alabama, and Texas A&M, I think are their 3 losses.
And LSU, who has fired Les Miles.
LSU, yeah. Now the grass eater is gone. Did you know that? He would pick up grass and eat it on the sideline. It's hilarious.
Who hasn't done that?
I don't know. I don't know what to do with LSU, because maybe sometimes when you do that, fire the coach and you bring in a new guy, things turn around, and sometimes they just even go in the tank more.
Well, it's hard to know if they're good or bad for both these teams, honestly. Right.
So Ole Miss at LSU. It might even be like a homecoming game for LSU. I mean, this time of the year.
It might be. I think I'll go with LSU.
I was going to go with LSU, too.
Okay, then I'll go Ole Miss.
Okay. You know that means Ole Miss is going to win the way this is going this year. Oh, gosh.
I'm trying to give you a chance.
I'm taking LSU because they're the home team. You know?
Well, they're also favored. They're favored by 5.5.
Yeah. So I have the favored teams. I'm going with Vegas.
And I've got 2 upsets.
Yes. This is making me upset.
Oh, I hope I go 3-0.
All right. So the other thing that's happening right now, I mean, that's college football. Do you have anything else to say about college football? Ohio State's playing Penn State this week. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I love it. It really is.
The most wonderful time of the year. That could be our...
No, not quite.
No? Oh, that's not what you're going to say.
No, it's not Christmas time
yet. I think
this
is the most sports wonderful time of the year. Have we done that draft? We need to do that draft.
Fall, winter, spring?
No, months of the year for
oh,
sports.
Months. Like seasons. What? Okay, there's 4 seasons. I'll take summer.
I'm going to take... summer. There's only 3 left.
I guess I'll take winter.
No, months of... I think October is the greatest sports month of the year.
I can see that. Now, November, a lot of times the World Series goes into November.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying playoff baseball the whole month of October.
Yeah. Playoff baseball is the best.
It is.
I mean, it's playoff baseball is phenomenal. NBA is getting ready to start up. College football is in full
gear. Well, NBA, I think, kicks off like in the next day or two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the only time of year you have all 3 major sports. And
in this, yeah, you don't have – because in the spring you don't have football.
Yeah.
But you have college basketball going.
Yeah.
Which
– March is pretty great.
March is pretty great.
All right. Well, we'll save that discussion for another day.
It's honestly one of two. You either say it's March or October. Is there what would be the third month if there was one?
Well, January's got all the college bowl games. I mean, okay. And it's some good basketball as well.
Yeah.
Like if you're a huge college football fan, you might pick January, you know, because of January 1st and,
right. You
know, going into the bowl games if that's your big thing. And the NFL is big time. If you're a hockey fan, that might factor in. I'm not.
No. There's no reason to be a hockey fan.
And October, really good soccer happening in October. All right. So let's go right to the Major League Baseball playoffs, right? I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Now, you and I both grew up Reds fans.
Yes.
So we have very similar background in that sense. But I would consider myself an Ohio fan, right? I root for Ohio.
Yeah.
You know, when the Browns are playing the Bengals, I root for the Bengals. When the Indians are playing the Reds, I root for the Reds. But all other times, I feel free to root for the Ohio teams.
Yes.
That being said, I've been a Cavs fan my whole life.
There was no other option.
I've been a Cavs fan ever since Mark Price and Craig Ehlo.
Larry Nance, Brad.
That was a good team.
That was a great team.
So during the run through the playoffs, I was all up on Facebook about the Cavs, posting, you know, like every win, you know, go Cavs, LeBron's the best, blah, 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 blah. The Indians clinched the World Series last night.
Yeah.
They won in game 5.
No, it was 3-1. They 4-1. Yeah, game 5.
Yeah, they won in game 5 against the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays got one from them. The Indians have only lost one game this entire playoffs.
It's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive. So I saw like a, you know, like an ESPN, you know, story about, you know, it was like a banner of, you know, Indians going to the World Series. And I almost shared it, but then I stopped and I said, do I get to do this? Do I have the right to do this? I'm not an Indians fan. I haven't been, you know, it's basically a bandwagon situation, you know.
Yeah.
Not totally. Not,
see,
you know.
Our house is a little bit different because my wife grew up outside of Cleveland.
Right.
And so she's 100% Cleveland.
Many people grew up outside of Cleveland. You know, I mean, unless you grew up in Cleveland, you grew up outside of Cleveland.
Did I say right outside of Cleveland?
I think you just said outside of Cleveland.
Well, it was right outside of Cleveland. And so she's 100% Cleveland.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So,
like,
sure.
I'm Browns.
Yeah.
And I'm Cavs because there's no other professional basketball in Ohio.
Right.
But I'm Cincinnati Reds baseball.
Right.
So, but my wife is 100% Cleveland across the board for everything.
Right.
So earlier this week, two or three days ago when they were playing, I said, even though I posted this on Facebook.
Right.
Even though I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan, our house is in full Cleveland mode, you know. Celebrating the game.
So, you kind of have married into it.
I've married into it, yeah. So I feel like I've got a better claim at saying, like, we as a household are rooting for the Indians and we could be proud of it. Because, honestly, and we have a battle going on right now. My wife and I'm trying to get my kids to say Cincinnati's the best team.
Yeah.
And she's trying to get them to say the Indians. Well, this year the Indians are far better. Right. And it's the magic number. Like, we were 8, 9, 10 years old when Cincinnati won it.
Yeah.
You know, 1990.
Right. What were the Indians doing in 1990?
Oh, the garbage.
Corey Snyder.
Yeah. It was not good.
I can't name one other player on that team.
No, because we had his baseball card, Corey Snyder's baseball card. And we knew a Corey Snyder, right?
I think there was like a Donruss, like ultra Donruss card. You remember how they would like, it was like they would, it was like a drawing of their faces.
Yeah.
Like not everybody got the ultra Donruss card, but Corey Snyder got one. I remember Corey Snyder.
I remember his 1987 card, I think,
was
with
that
the wood grain.
Yeah, I remember that.
Good old Corey Snyder. But anyway, so there's a battle going right now to get our kids to choose
a losing battle for you.
It is, but it's the magic. My son, two of my sons right now, are the ages you and I were at.
So they're kind of bound to be Indians
fans. I think
they're
bound to be Indians fans, and I'm not liking it. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens.
But I'm doing the right thing.
Now, your wife
likes
the Red Sox.
Well, she doesn't like the Red Sox.
She says she does.
If you put a gun to her head and told her to name two Red Sox current players, she would say Big Poppy, and then she'd be done after that. She doesn't even know. And I don't even know that she knows Big Poppy's name. Like, I don't think she knows the name David Ortiz. She didn't grow up in a sports household like we did.
Yeah.
Growing up, they didn't watch sports, you know. So all of a sudden, we get married, and I'm, like, actually watching sports. And she's like, what's happening? Why are you watching so much sports? I'm like, why are you not watching sports? And our first year of marriage was the year that the Red Sox won the World Series for the first time.
Yeah.
And she was still at that delightful time in marriage when she was pretending to like the things that I like.
Yes.
You know, that has since stopped years ago. Years ago. She doesn't pretend anymore. But we watched the playoffs together, and I explained to her the curse of the Bambino and the Red Sox history. And so she was like, go Red Sox.
She's all in.
She wanted them to win, break the curse, all that kind of stuff. And so that's her only kind of baseball rooting. That's all she's ever done. So she calls herself, and she has a Red Sox hat that she really likes.
Yeah.
That's, you know, she thinks, you know.
I hate the Red Sox.
We had this discussion before.
See, I'm more of the Yankees fan. If you pick one or the other, Yankees or Red Sox, I'm Yankees.
And if I'm picking one or the other, I'm picking the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And I know that makes my friend Adam the male nurse unhappy because Adam's a huge Yankees fan.
Well, he should appreciate me then.
I guess, yeah.
I love the Yankees.
Oh, man. So I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon, although I would like them. I'm glad that they're
I think it's appropriate to say we're rooting for Ohio.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. They're a different division. It's American League, National League.
But I will say, once the Cubs are in the World Series, which if that happens, then I'm officially, I don't care. Like, either way, it would be fine.
Oh, I do not want the Cubs to win.
I know. We've talked. You want the Cubs to lose on the seventh game.
Yes.
You know.
In dramatic fashion.
Right.
Two outs, bottom of the ninth, Indians hit a home run.
Like Indians have run out of batters and Terry Francona has to go up to hit.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Like Andrew Miller is pinch hitting in the bottom of the ninth because they don't have any other guys to hit.
He could probably do it.
Andrew Miller doesn't hit.
Well, he's
a relief pitcher
he's done
in the DH
else.
League.
Yeah, right.
He's never going to hit.
No, he's never going to hit. Well, on the other side, last night, as we're recording this today, the Cubs tied up the series. The Cubs were down 2-1. And it was at that kind of like, not a must win, but there's a huge difference, obviously, between 2-2 and 3-1. And Anthony Rizzo has been awful. He was great all year.
Yeah.
He was probably top five MVP, you know, and he wasn't even the best player on his team because Chris Bryant was. But Anthony Rizzo has been great all year, but just garbage in the playoffs. In fact, with however many at-bats that he has in the playoffs so far, he was like the fourth worst batter of all time in the playoffs. Yeah. Well, last night he went off, had a big night. So good for Anthony Rizzo. I'm happy for him. So you've got that series tied. The Cubs in the previous two games, when they had been going against Clayshaw and then Rich Hill, this Rich Hill guy, where did he come from? He's like 37 years old, and he throws a curveball like I've never seen before. So against Kershaw and Rich Hill, the Cubs scored. Their offensive performance was the worst two-game consecutive offensive performance in the playoffs from a late Major League Baseball team since the 1919 White Sox. And they were trying to lose. Like, they were in on the fix, right? Yeah. So it's basically like the worst two games that any two guys have ever played. The good news, if you're a Dodgers fan, is Clayton Kershaw is going to come back up on the mound here pretty soon, and he's going to be pitching again.
Well, he'll probably pitch game five, right?
That would be my guess, is that he would go game five.
And then, like, in a worst-case scenario, he might go game seven.
He could go 5-7. I mean, that's like that year that the Diamondbacks won the World Series.
Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson pitched every other game.
I don't know that that's the case, but there was at least only one guy in between them. It would be Schilling, Johnson, random dude, Schilling, Johnson, random dude, right? And they just basically...
Well, I think even Randy Johnson came in for relief.
Yeah.
And during, like,
was the best...
Curt Schilling started and Randy Johnson, like, relieved it.
That was the best pitching... probably ever in the playoffs. Just those, well, just to have two
number
guys.
One, number two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're both number ones.
Well, the 90s Braves were pretty good as a core.
Yeah.
That was a really good core.
But a top two.
A top two.
You're never going to see better than that. They were probably the best two pitchers in the league at the time.
They were in their prime. I mean, Randy Johnson had a pretty good prime. Curt Schilling's prime, I think, was smaller.
I will say I was actually rooting for the Yankees that year. So even though I'm not a Yankees guy, I was, because I don't like expansion teams, and I don't like it when they win the World Series.
Yeah,
I don't ever want the Marlins to win. I don't ever want the Diamondbacks to win. I don't want the Rockies to win, and I don't want the Rays to win.
Yeah.
Those four teams, because you know why? Because they weren't a team when I was a kid.
And you're an old man.
I know. So there you go. Now, I was listening the other day to one of my favorite sports radio shows, and is...
Tony Kornheiser.
Lebatard. Oh, I love Kornheiser, too. Yeah, I listen to Kornheiser, too. But I love Lebatard.
Yeah.
And the Lebatard, Stu Gatz, that whole thing. And you've got some Stu Gatz in you. I don't know if you listen to that show.
I actually don't. I've never listened to it.
You would like Stu Gatz. You are like a version of Stu Gatz, basically.
Here's the thing. I'm not copying Stu Gatz because I don't know who he is.
I know. You've never listened to the show, but I'm telling you, like, you are Stu Gatz.
Okay.
But he
does
came
that make
out,
you Dan Levitard?
Dan, well, my name's Dan.
I think Dan Levitard's hilarious. I don't find you hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the truth.
Well, maybe. So anyway, Stu Gatz came out with a take, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. He said everybody thinks Joe Maddon is smart because of the glasses, that we have no other proof that he's actually smart. But he's got these glasses, and it just makes him look smart. And so it's like, how smart do you actually have to be when you have the best team in all of baseball? Like, is there if you put Rod Gardenhire in, or if you put, you know, another, you know, Don Mattingly in to manage that team, is there going to be that big of a difference?
I would say, yeah. He's proven – he did it in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay was not good.
Well, no, they had good players on that team.
What I'm saying is, like, before he – was super involved with that team.
Okay.
They were horrible.
Right.
And I know player development doesn't necessarily rest on his shoulders. You know, who they draft, who they bring on is not on the manager. But he did really well with a team that I think
nobody else
could do well with.
I do think that he has landed in two very good places. At the right time.
Yeah.
Because that Rays team, there's a book that Joni Carey wrote that I haven't really read, but I've heard him talk about it before. But Joni Carey...
I read the back cover.
Yeah. So, you know, Joni Carey wrote a book about the Rays and just how they kind of revolutionized the way that you know, do player development and stuff like that. So Joe Maddon has landed on pretty good spots, but I just thought that was a pretty funny take, you know, like... Because the glasses don't hurt.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Terry Francona wears glasses too, right?
Sometimes. I don't think he always wears them.
I think I saw
But those thick glasses like that Joe thick Madden bottle. Wears. Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. Like the Elvis Costello glasses.
I definitely think glasses make you look smarter.
I know. I don't need glasses. I have very good vision. But I keep on thinking about just buying some glasses with just like clear frames and clear lenses. In
My vision is slowly going.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would get glasses like tomorrow if I could.
I know. I just don't. I feel like once I rely on glasses, then I'm like, I'm going to need them.
Right.
Like, I don't need them right now. I can see okay.
Right.
But I can tell my vision is not what it used to be. So
right.
I don't know.
All right. Well,
wait, so, this is, hold on a second. It's official.
It's official. You've moved through the Meyer coffee.
My coffee is done. I'm getting ready for the Coke. Ready?
Oh. That was a kind of a weak Coke opening sound.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
That's why I go for the can. The can is
No, I can't do a can.
I like the can better than Yeah, it's a great sound, too. All right, so moving past
so good.
The Major League Baseball stuff. Well, really quickly, Tim Tebow is 1-16. He finally got a hit. So
He's going up against real pitching.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are like double, triple A guys.
What is
it's the Arizona League.
What is 1-16 as a batting average?
Not good.
It's like, well, it's under 100.
I could figure it up. It's like 6.6.
Yeah.
0.06. It's not 0.6, not 600.
It's not 600.
It's 0.06.
He's batting 60.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No. But he was in the instructional league.
Andrew Miller could bat better than that.
We don't know that.
All right, but that's fine.
So he was in the instructional league.
Uh-huh.
And he was hitting the ball, hit a home run this first time.
Right.
So then he goes to the Arizona, like, fall league.
Mm-hmm.
Which he's going up against, like, real double, triple A pitchers.
Right.
There's guys playing for the Cubs right now. They're 1-16 in their last at-bats. It happens to professional hitters.
Okay.
People making millions of dollars to hit a baseball. It happens. So, Tim Tebow, he's just getting his feet. He's just getting his rhythm. He's just getting, give him some time.
Okay. I hope he does well. I'm rooting for him. I don't think he will. All right. So, moving on from all of that, we'll close with the NFL.
Okay.
Now, do you know the famous Owens of the world?
Jesse.
You got Jesse Owens?
Yeah.
You got Terrell Owens?
Yeah.
You got Owen Wilson?
Okay.
And, and you got the Browns. 0-6.
That's a dad joke.
Now, I think the last episode was the Browns' path to the Super Bowl. We have clearly laid out the path that the Browns need to take to the Super Bowl.
And even though they lost last week, I actually think they're closer to the Super Bowl than ever. Because here's the thing. The Indians clinched. Are going to the World Series.
Has LeBron been to a Browns game yet? Because we know LeBron's been going to these Indians games.
Oh, that's a good thought. Well, they're getting ready to start a basketball, so there's no way he goes to the...
He needs to. If it's an away game, just send the team, because the Browns need you there. I'm not saying you need to play, wide receiver.
Okay, so here's the thing. The Browns are 0-6.
Yes.
There's a couple things working to their advantage.
Uh-huh.
One, Ben Roethlisberger just got hurt. He's out 6 weeks.
Okay.
Okay? Pittsburgh could lose 6 in a row. They don't have their starting quarterback. I'm just saying, okay? Go with me on this.
Okay.
The Browns are 0-6.
Yes.
They play the Bengals this week, which are not good. They're not
They're
2-4. Now,
I understand.
They've won 2 games. They've lost 4.
I understand the record. They're better than that.
I agree, but they're underperforming. So,
okay.
I think the Browns could win this week.
Is it in Cincinnati?
It's in Cincinnati.
Yeah, okay.
Which is Ohio. They're playing the same place.
He's coming to the jungle, my friend.
No. So, the Browns, they're 0-6.
Okay.
If they won 10 in a row, they'd be 10-6. Either guaranteeing a wild card spot or the division win.
So, they need to run the table.
Yes. If they're 9-5, oh, no, man. 10-6, they can make it at 10-6.
Okay.
So, here's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. If the Browns win this game against the Bengals, they'll make them 1-6. And it's on the path to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
It's Title Town, Cleveland, Ohio. They won. The Cavs won. The Lake Erie Monsters won. The Indians are going to win the World Series.
Oh,
and the Browns are going to win the Super Bowl. Oh, it's going to be a clean sweep.
Man, arrogance does not sit well on a Cleveland fan.
I'm wearing a Cleveland Browns shirt right now.
I know you are.
I'm sold on the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
They're going to win. They're going to win out.
You're just, I can just hear in your voice you convincing yourself that that's true.
I am trying to convince myself. Right. The game's at 1 o'clock. Cincinnati is favored by 10, which is unbelievable in the NFL. Nobody's ever favored by double digits.
Except for the Patriots.
Except for the Patriots and anybody that plays the Browns.
Right.
But, hey, it's never happened before. No 0-6 team has won all their games to go on to win the Super Bowl.
All right.
But
this is the year.
This is the year. The Cats have never won the playoffs.
Cleveland would explode.
Oh, we've talked about this. Yeah. They would. I mean, it would be, especially if the Indians won and then the Browns won.
I know.
After coming from 0-6. I know. I mean, it would be.
Yeah, it's not going
to happen. Every city in America would make a Believe Land video.
Just chill out.
About their city.
Just chill out. It's not going to happen.
Hey, I'm just saying, let's give
it. I'm rooting for you. This year, I'm all in on Cleveland. I would actually rather the Browns win the Super Bowl this year than the Bengals. Like, and I don't like the Browns. I'm a Bengals fan. But because the Bengals and the Browns are a little bit different than the Reds and the Indians. It's American League, National League. They hardly ever see each other. You know, back when we were kids, they never played each other.
Right.
So you could kind of root for both. The Bengals and the Browns are in the same division.
They play each other twice every
year. They're rivals. So yeah. I'm not really a Browns fan. But this year, if the Indians won the World Series, I'd like wear a Browns shirt. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm all in. So I hope you're right, but you're not.
It's possible.
It's not possible.
No, it is. It's mathematically possible.
Okay.
If they go undefeated for the rest of the year, they'll be 10-6.
Okay.
And Pittsburgh is missing their starting quarterback. And the Bengals are not good this year. The record doesn't reflect it. And let's see what the what's the record of Baltimore? Baltimore's 3-3. So they're not even that great. I mean, 10-6 might win that division.
10-6 could win the division. Although I don't know who the backup quarterback is for Pittsburgh. Do you know who?
Landry.
Oh, from Oklahoma.
I don't know where he's from college, but maybe.
Yeah.
He's not great.
Well,
here's the thing. Roethlisberger has missed 16 games in his career.
Mm-hmm.
In that 16 games, Pittsburgh is 8-8. They've got a .500 record. So if he misses the next, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 games, mm-hmm. they're going to go .500 at best. And during that time, Cleveland's going to run the table. So there's no reason to believe that when Big Ben comes back that the Browns and the...
One thing about the Browns is it turns out Terrell Pryor actually a pretty good wide receiver.
He's an excellent wide receiver.
Right now, Jason, you can go to Vegas... And it looks like the if you want to put money on the Browns, I just looked this up.
Yeah.
To win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The odds are 9,999 to 1.
Do they go any higher or lower?
I don't think so.
Because 9,999 seems very odd.
Yeah.
Why not just make it 10,001?
I don't know.
So if I put $1 down, I could win $9,999. Is that the way that works?
I think you have to put more than a dollar down. You know.
I'd put a dollar down.
Well, I'm saying I think you have to put more. I think you might 100? Have to put like 100 down or something.
Okay, so if I put 100 down, mm-hmm. add 2 zeros to that, what is that, $990,000?
Yeah.
I would put 100 down.
I guess, yeah.
Shoot, that's almost $1 million.
Shoot.
Shoot, I just done made myself $1 million.
Well, it's not good. Those are not good odds.
If you bet 1,000, you could make... $10 million.
Okay, well, go do it. More power to you. So there's the Browns, which we seem to find a way to talk about every week. The other team that we talk a lot about is the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
They look pretty good.
Yes.
Dak Prescott might be the next. I don't even know. Like,
well, he's not a Tom Brady. He's not passing for 5,000
but
yards.
He's also not a Michael Vick.
No, or I think Randall he's Cunningham. Like a Joe Montana.
Steve Young, maybe. Because he's mobile. Dak Prescott is mobile. Yeah. I saw him run a dude over last week.
Yeah, I don't think he should be doing that moving forward.
I'm just saying
he's going to get hurt.
I'm saying he can.
He has that capability, yeah.
Steve Young. Okay, so he's the next Steve Young. Or he looks like it anyway. What do the cow and Zeke is
unbelievable. He's unbelievable as a veteran.
Yeah.
And he's a rookie.
He's like the best running back in the league this year.
Yeah. He's on pace to average over 1,800 yards, which would set the rookie record,
mm-hmm.
beating Eric Dickerson, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
And honestly,
that's back when they used to run the ball.
Yeah, a lot.
Right.
They don't hardly run the ball nearly as much as they used to. Dez Bryant said that he thinks Zeke can get over 2,000 yards.
Well, I think if they fed them, if they were really thinking about it, yeah, you know, I think they could. But I don't. I think hopefully Jason Garrett's smarter than that, and he won't kill Zeke all year long, so he can use him when he needs him.
But think about this for a second. You've got this is how good I think Zeke really is. The defenses going up against him are going up against a rookie quarterback, mm-hmm, and a rookie running back. They're loading the box.
Yeah.
They are. They're putting eight guys in the box, bringing nine. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
They are, and Zeke's getting through it.
But the fact that Dak Prescott's actually good, I think they help each other.
They do help each other, but he's not lighting it up. He's not going over the top on people.
No, but you have to play him honest.
Yeah.
And that helps Zeke. And I'm not going to claim to be an expert. I'm not a Mark Schlereth, right? I'm not going to claim to be an expert on offensive lines in football. It's hard for me just looking at them to know the difference. But from people that know what they're talking about, the Dallas offensive line is pretty good.
Yeah.
And obviously that helps too. But either way, you know, they're doing great. The question is, what do you do with Romo? I read an article earlier this week that proposed that Romo gets traded to the Jets because the Jets need a quarterback, and just get rid of the quarterback controversy and just go all in with Dak and get something for Romo and go to the send him to the Jets. What do you say?
From whose perspective?
Either.
Well, from Dallas, I don't think I get rid of Romo. I think I put him on the bench and I say, hold this clipboard.
Yeah.
And if Dak gets hurt, we need you.
Yeah.
Because if Dak gets hurt, if he's running the ball and gets hurt, mm-hmm, Dallas is good enough, they could win the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, they'd have to go up against the Browns, but we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. But if Dak really does get hurt, and quarterbacks get hurt, it happens, you need Romo. Who else they got?
Right.
Like, I don't even know who their third string is.
I don't know.
You know? But that's what I'm saying is you can't. If you're Dallas, you can't do that. If you're the Jets, I don't know why you would want to do that. Because Romo's like 39 years old.
Right.
He's coming off multiple injuries.
It's not like you're just a quarterback away from winning the Super Bowl this year.
No. And the Patriots are so good. Mm. I mean, so, so good. They're going to win that division. And honestly, Buffalo has turned it on. Buffalo looks really, really good right now.
Yeah.
Their offense is fired up.
Rex Ryan.
That's right. Well, they fired their offensive coordinator, and ever since then, they're like 5-1 or something.
Oh, yeah.
So, Buffalo's tough. The Patriots are tough. Miami stinks, and the Jets stink. So that whole AFC East, they're not going to come out of that division. They're not going to make a wild card. I don't even know why they're making a play. Honestly, they'd be better off. I think they have who's the guy? Who's the rookie that's on that team?
Who are you talking about?
They got a rookie quarterback on the Jets.
Geno Smith?
No. I'm going to have to look it up.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No. I don't even know how to look this up.
Cardale Jones.
No. He plays for Buffalo.
You know what I was just thinking? Buffalo's good this year. Dallas is good. What if we had a Bills-Cowboys Super Bowl?
Bills? Oh, like going back to 1994 or something like that.
That would be – if I was a Bills fan, that would make me as nervous as anything I ever experienced in my life, to play the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. That would be the one team that I would not want to play. And maybe it's the team you want to play to kind of get redemption, you know. But that would be hilarious. I mean, it's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Aren't that good, but
I'm trying to see. I've got an iPad here, and I'm still learning iPad stuff.
You click on things, and then when you click, they go there, you know, and then you get the thing that you wanted. It's not that difficult. What are you trying to look up?
The backup quarterback. Oh, no, okay. So Christian Hattenberg from Penn State.
Okay.
I don't think that he's phenomenal.
No.
But I think if you're the Jets, you throw him in there and say, there are a lot of rookies doing good. Mm-hmm. Let's see what you got.
I think there are a lot of rookies doing well.
There are a lot of rookies doing well. But here's the thing. Just show what Hackenberg's got. Either he has it or he doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, what else? The Jets aren't playing for anything this year. So you got to play for the future. You got to say, what do we have in our young core? Because we need to know, do we need to draft the future quarterback, or are we going to go with one of these guys?
Jets, I'm just going to help you. Christian Hattenberg is not your future quarterback. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Well, I don't think so either, but sometimes...
Somebody has to get beat up. Why not let him get beat up?
I'm just saying, sometimes guys outperform what they did in college.
Well, speaking of the NFL, you had told me before that you had been reading an article. You had read an article. That's silly. You don't read. You had seen something on TV.
Yeah,
obviously,
it was probably ESPN.
That the NFL ratings are down.
Yes.
And I mean, I think I might be, you know, part of that statistic because I watch less of the NFL than I used to. So, you know, maybe I am the X factor. Why do you think NFL ratings would be down?
I don't know. The speculation that I heard, I don't think it's accurate. Like, we're coming – this is a huge political season,
mm-hmm.
and it's, like, the biggest political thing ever,
yeah.
Trump versus Hillary. And I don't even want to talk about that at all, other than I think a lot of people's attention are on that. I think potentially, you know, it's just people's focus is not on sports right now. I think that's a possibility.
I don't know about that.
I'm just saying it's possible.
I'm thinking I'm wondering if maybe people are accessing the games in different ways than they used to. A younger generation is watching the NFL in a different way, you know, that they're not quantifying exactly.
Yeah, maybe. The other thing is this. I think I don't know this to be true, but the NFL has cracked down on a lot of the like celebrations and a lot of the just fun type of stuff. It's like strictly like business.
No fun
like,
league.
No fun league. The no fun league. When we were kids, I mean, I remember, you know, the Icky Shuffle.
Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Yeah, all those. The dances, yeah. The mm-hmm. sideline antics and all that stuff. I like that.
Yeah.
I think that that's good. And I think that you're losing the younger generation by not having that. I think the old farts in the league, you know, the owners of the teams and all those guys who have been around 10,000 years, I think they're probably the ones saying, yeah, we don't want that celebration. We don't want that. We don't want that.
Yeah.
You know, well, that might be part of it.
Yeah. And, you know, we have such a small sample size, right? It's, you know, we've paid attention to sports from the mid 80s
yeah.
until today, right? We have like a 30-year window
that
we've been playing sports. There was a time not so long ago, like if you talk to guys, if you do a little research, like in the 40s, you know, the top two sports in America in the 40s were boxing and horse racing.
Yeah.
You know, like, and those are off the map today.
Yeah.
You know, like these things do go in cycles. It's hard. It's so popular now, the NFL is, that it's hard to imagine a world in which it wouldn't be the most popular thing.
Yeah.
But chances are there's going to be a time where it's not the most popular thing. I'm not saying it's going away completely or anything like that.
Yeah.
But things go in cycles.
They
and
do.
Maybe the NFL has now reached its peak, you know, and now it's just going to level out and drop down a little bit, but it'll still be popular.
You know, in the 90s, golf was huge with Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And golf right now is not a thing.
I will say, and I know you're not a soccer guy, but I will say there are some elements of soccer that I think are in, like, you know, a lot of people think it's boring, and I understand why you would think it's boring, but the clock never stops. It's an exact amount of time. You know exactly how long it's going to be. There's no commercials,
right?
You know, there's nothing free because, like, this younger generation, they lose attention very quickly. You know, like your son watches the Ohio State football game; it's a commercial. He gets up, I'm going to go play GoldenEye, and now he's gone. You know, because the commercial interrupted him.
You're trying to pitch a game to the younger generation that can't pay attention because they lose focus.
Right,
it might be 1-0 at the end of the game. There's no scoring.
Right, but an NFL game could be 7-0. And that's one score. There's no difference. Would you like it better if soccer awarded one goal 7 points? I mean, you know, so the end score would be 21-14 instead of 3-2?
I don't know. I just feel like there's more action.
I mean, you hear an NFL game 21-14. Oh, man, I bet that was a good game. A soccer game 3-2. 3-2. It's the same thing. And there's nonstop action for people that know the sport. So, I don't know. I just wonder if soccer for a younger generation will hold their attention a little bit more. When you're at a soccer game, you can't walk away. You know, it's like you have to be paying attention because the ball could be all the way on the other side and in 20 seconds a goal could be scored, you know?
Yeah.
So there's no, like, you just can't take your attention away from it at all, you know?
I did ask my son the other day about soccer, Harrison.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know. We were talking about something. I said, what do you think about soccer? What do you know anything about it? Because he brought it up. He goes, well, the only thing I know is whenever you watch it on TV, some guy from another country is talking about it.
He is your son.
He is my son. So I appreciate the fact that, like, whenever he thinks about soccer, it's some British guy talking about it.
That's part of my appeal. I have always wanted to move to England.
Yeah.
I feel very attached to that. I love all things like England. So maybe that's part of it for me. So So there you go. NFL ratings are dropping. The Raiders just filed papers to move to Vegas.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that happens.
I hope that happens.
I don't care.
It'd be fun.
It's fine. If
the Raiders, it feels like the Raiders move every like 7 years.
Yeah.
You know.
I think a Raider is a nomadic kind of thing, right?
Yeah, they don't own their own.
They go to territory. A place, they raid it,
yeah.
And then once they've taken everything from it, then they move on.
Yeah.
Right? So I can, that kind of fits.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind okay of fits. With that.
The Vegas Raiders. It does have a nice, it wouldn't be the Las Vegas Raiders, right? I think you'd call it the Vegas Raiders. That, to me, that sounds better.
Las Vegas Raiders? Vegas Raiders? I don't think it matters. I don't know.
The Raiders of Vegas. Maybe you can go, you know, kind of like that, you know. I don't know.
You don't say, like, Angeles Dodgers.
I know, but there's something about Vegas. You know, nobody calls Los Angeles. People call it L.A. People call it Los Angeles. Nobody calls it Angeles.
L.V.?
Nobody
it's
says
the L.V. Raiders.
Ew, that sounds bad. But people do say Vegas. I'm going to Vegas.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, we'll see about that. I mean, that's about it. The NBA is coming up. So next week, why don't you give you a little bit of a homework assignment. We're going to come up with the finals, who's in the finals and who's going to win the finals, who the MVP is going to be, and how many wins Golden State's going to have.
Okay.
So you come up with those numbers, and we will most likely not even talk about it next week.
Yeah.
If things go the way
they go. I would also like, just in general, if people want to, you know, get a hold of us on the show, 805-991-7623.
Yes.
Which spells road.
ROAD.
ROAD. Yeah. 805-991-7623. Let us know if you like the morning show better than a night show.
I don't know, but it seems like we might be calmer in the morning. More kind of relaxed. I don't know.
I think I'm more relaxed. I'm not as anxious because in the evening it's like you've got 1,000 things going on.
By that time, I mean, you have about 3 Cokes and God knows how much coffee in you at that point.
Just,
you've already taken 3 naps, eaten multiple things off of the grill.
Yeah. But the morning show, it does. It has a whole different feel. I don't know if it's better or worse.
I like it better.
Do you?
Well, I like the way it feels for me better. I also like getting it over with, and the like. I don't have it looming over me, like, okay, I'm going to be up late tonight.
Yeah.
So I like to get to bed.
Oh, yeah. I'm okay with that. I don't know. It just feels weird. Okay. I just, you know. I would like to schedule time and say this is when we're always going to do it.
I'd like to do it in the mornings.
Okay.
Well, let's hear it from the listeners.
That's what I'm saying. Text
the show, 805-991-7623, 805-991-ROAD. Get on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Find us however you find us. Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes. Share it, comment, rate, subscribe. We need to make some money on this show, Jason.
Yes. Our sponsors are getting kind of pricey.
Yeah, I mean, pricey. I mean,
we're paying Netflix, we're paying Coca-Cola, paying Amazon Prime.
Yeah, we can't afford it any longer.
No, I mean, we need these companies to be paying us.
I think we got the
Time Warner. Time Warner is one of my favorite sponsors.
Yeah, right.
I mean, currently they provide the best service. Now, I pay them $150 a month for that service.
Oh, man. All right. Well, do you have any suggestions for our outro music?
No, that's a good question. And, well, that's another thing for the listeners. If you ever want to hear anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you have a suggestion. We've already played suggestions before.
Yeah.
John Meadows suggested Country Road Take Me Home.
Which is the Tennessee theme song, right?
Yes.
Oh, West Virginia.
As John is gripping his steering wheel. So any, you know, you in the mood for any kind of 8-bit music? Any Michael Jackson, maybe?
I was thinking, like, what about, like, Metallica?
Okay. What's a Metallica song that you would...
Like Enter Sandman.
Enter Sandman?
Yeah.
Have we done that one before?
I don't think so.
I think we have.
Have we?
Yeah, because we've talked about the Sandman twice.
Have we?
Yeah.
Man,
we did Mr. Sandman. Bring me a dream. Yeah. We also did Enter Sandman, I'm sure of it.
Okay.
Is there another Metallica song?
No, I mean, how about Nirvana? Like, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
All right, we'll look up that one. So Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
That's a good one.
All right.
I'm feeling my 90s. I'm very nostalgic.
Okay.
I love my 90s.
Sure. Yeah, so let's go with that. As far as I'm concerned, it's already been playing in the background.
Yeah.
I always just assume that I can find these things.
If for some reason you can't find Nirvana in the 8-bit, I mean, we're going to have to go with something that we know.
Michael Jackson, Smooth Operator. Is that a song?
Smooth Criminal.
Awesome.
Smooth operator. It's smooth criminal.
Smooth criminal.
Smooth criminal.
That'll be enough. You're not helping.
Okay.
So it's
going to conflict with the Nirvana.
Nirvana backup is Smooth Criminal.
Yeah, not Smooth Operator.
That's a different song.
I don't even know if that's a song.
I'll bet it is.
We should write that song.
Okay. All right, well, that's it. Do you have anything else as we're leaving?
No.
All right, well, this is Dan Owings signing off for Jason Owings, reminding you to always keep your stick on the ice and never wear the blue sweats.